Before we get to today's sermon, I want to amend the last one. Last week, after services, Checkers came up and reminded me of something vitally important. I mentioned in the last sermon how we are each expressions of God through our personality. But what she reminded me was that God also changes our personality. And that's something that's so vital in the moments when we don't feel very Christ-like. In Luke 9, Jesus and his disciples visit a village on their travels, and the people there don't welcome them. And in verse 54, it says, "When his disciples James and John saw this, they said, 'Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?' But he turned and rebuked them." More times than not, my natural inclination is to call down fire. And I know I'm not alone in that, thankfully. But I also know that every day God continues to rebuke me a little bit more and guide me towards something better. My personality can be an expression of God, but it can also be an expression of me. And our journey is about having it be less me and more him. So never feel devastated by the fact that it's not your natural inclination to act like Christ. It is work. All right, let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning, hopefully excited to hear your word and to hear a message. And I just ask that you give me your words. And if they're the ones on my paper, then let me deliver them with gusto. And if they're not, then just put the right ones in my mouth. And whatever's from you, let find a home in our hearts. And whatever's not, let it just go its own way. Amen. So, last week, we took a very brief look at paradoxes and the difference between a paradox and a contradiction. And while I would love to stand up here and continue to discuss paradoxes for another 5 or 6 weeks, though Elaine, I think, would not be happy about that, instead, we're going to move on to the second part of our three-part circle, understanding. There are many forms of understanding. There's understanding God, understanding ourselves, understanding science and nature, understanding scripture, understanding paradoxes, which, as we discussed, is very hard. And like love, we could spend a solid year just talking about understanding. But today we're going to narrow down the focus to one part of understanding, which is understanding others. There are three things I want to share with you today about understanding others. There are actually 1,000 things I would like to share with you today, but I have about 10 minutes or so, and 1,000 things does not fit into 10 minutes. I tell you this because it means I have to leave a lot of things out of today's sermon, just like I did last week. But I don't want anyone listening to think that all that other stuff doesn't exist. When I was young, I was afraid to ask questions in church. So let me just say, if at any point in today's sermon you have questions, or you think something like, "But what about ... let me reassure you that the answers exist. And you're not alone in having questions, and you don't have to be alone in finding answers. Talk to Jeff. Talk to me. If you don't want to talk to either of us for some reason, talk to Maya, because she's part of Pastor Parish Relations, and she will go ahead and help you find the person that you need to connect with. Just don't do what I did, which is hold it all inside and be afraid, because that will kill you. Find the answers to your questions. Understand them. Because one of the beautiful things about understanding is that it brings with it peace. And that's point number one today. Understanding brings peace. When you don't understand something or someone, it can be frustrating. You think, why did he do that? Or why does she act that way? But when you understand someone, even if you don't agree with them, there's a lot more peace because you understand why. I want to take a minute and talk about the question why. We have a nasty habit in our modern world of abusing the English language. And I could stand here and complain about all the ways we do that, but let me narrow down the focus. There are times when we make a statement and pretend it's a question. I see this so much, especially online. We say something like, "Why would someone do something like that?" But here's the kicker. It's not a question. We're not actually asking. We're saying, I don't like that someone did something like that. Or maybe even it flabbergasts me that anyone would do something like that. We don't want to know why. Because I'm convinced if we wanted to know why, we wouldn't just be screaming into the void. We'd be trying to legitimately figure out why. And that is displayed so beautifully in a verse that I found while preparing the sermon this week. Proverbs 2, 1 to 5. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if it ended there, then we would be right to just scream out why with no answer, but it doesn't end there. And if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. It's a two-part process. Yes, the Bible says, by all means, call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding. But there's an and. And you have to then look for it. Look for it as if you were searching for hidden treasure. Most of the time, we're not asking why and looking for the answers. We're making a statement in the form of a question. From Proverbs 18:2, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. When we ask why as a statement instead of a question, that's what we're doing. We're airing our own opinions and taking no pleasure in understanding because we're not searching for understanding like it's a hidden treasure. If you've ever searched for hidden treasure, you will know that it is hard. And that is point number two about understanding others. It is dang hard. And there are a number of reasons why it's hard. Here's one. As I was preparing the sermon series, I had the opportunity to talk to Roland a little bit about understanding. And I asked for his insights on the subject. And he said, one of the hardest parts is accepting being wrong. No one wants to be wrong. We can even create complex, illogical rationalizations for propping up our point of view rather than admit to being wrong. Being open to understanding makes you vulnerable. It leaves you open to the possibility that someone else is right and you are not. And if you have humility, that's not a problem. But if you're anything like me, you have something else. And the something else you have is pride. Our old friend. Understanding requires a sacrifice. The sacrifice that understanding requires is your own pride. The thing that we cling most desperately to. Proverbs 4:7 says, the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. And I want to talk about these two lines because they're amazing. Let's dissect them a little bit. The first one says, the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom, which is almost absurd in how clear it is. And here's what it's saying. If you want to be wise, if you want wisdom, good. You should. The start of it is wanting it. And it's worthwhile. The second line of this beautiful two-line verse says, though it cost all you have, get understanding. It's not sugarcoating it. This past week at Bible study, Jeff had a beautiful phrase. He said, God ain't shy, which I loved. It's telling you it's going to cost you everything, and yet it's worth it. Understanding is worth everything. Point number three about understanding others is about the why. Why should we? Well, I told you point number one was because understanding brings peace. And that's great. I mean, it really is. It's a great thing to have peace. But you know what? We need to be honest here. Because there's no point in me standing up here and telling you sweet lies. Wanting peace for yourself is kind of a selfish reason to understand others. It's not a bad reason, but it is also selfish. the good news is that there's another really good reason why we should try and understand others. And that reason is because understanding is love. When you make an effort to understand someone else, you care about them. You have to. Because you're sacrificing your time and your energy and your life, your very life, to see a perspective that's not your own. And you might hate that perspective, but you're still trying and you're still seeking it like it's hidden treasure. And we have to do that. Every time Jeff has communion, or we have communion, Jeff stands up here and he gives us a variation of a very similar thing. And one of the things that's in there that's probably beaten into us by now is the phrase, your value is determined by your value is determined by the price paid for it. And when with communion, what that means is you are so valuable that God was willing to die on a cross for you, suffer horrific things for you. That is your value. When you understand someone else, you are putting value on them. And that value is your own sacrifice of you. You are saying that that person is so important that you are willing to die a little bit for them. Which, kind of mimics that thing that we're all trying to do and mimic in this life. I want to tell a story a little bit about value and the worth of it, because again, point number two here is that it is hard to understand others. This year, my wife and I have started a new small business together. And it is hard. Every day I sit at the computer and it seems overwhelming at times. And I can almost feel the hairs turning gray on my head as I deal with the technology that I have to deal with just to get things accomplished. And we'll release something soon that will have zero prospect of making any money. I mean, zero. There's no way that it can make money. And then we'll move on to the next project, which will probably also have zero attempt to make money. And eventually, maybe 10 projects down the line, we'll have a glimmer of hope at getting cents off of the project. So I promise you, what we are doing is not for financial reasons. I don't sit at my desk every day because I have dreams of a paycheck. If I wanted money, I would go get 1,000 other easier jobs, I promise. When I'm sitting at my desk, and I'm overwhelmed, and I feel like, why am I even doing this? I look up over the edge of my monitor, and I see my wife sitting across the desk from me. And it is a dream come true for me. Because every day I get to spend 24/7 with my best friend. And the things that we're making are cool and I like them, but I would do anything just to spend that time with her. And that's the value that's there. All the hard work is worth it. Understanding others is worth it. It's gonna be hard. I promise you it will. But it showcases that you care about them. It's an actionable step that will show that it's not just platitudes when you say that you care about somebody. And again, it's just hard, and I just hope that I've stressed that enough. It's still worth it. Next week, we're going to kind of unpack that a little bit more, and we're going to take a look at those personal actions that we can take to make this world a better place. But as you go out this week, I hope that you'll keep in mind that all around you are people who think very differently than you. And the easy answer, the so easy answer, and I've been guilty of it myself, is to say, why are they like that? Without seeking why they are like that. So today and this week, let's seek a little bit more. Amen. And before, I assume it's clapping. Good deal. But before we get to our last hymn, I amended last week's sermon before this sermon. Today I'm going to amend this sermon now. Because there's a point, this last point, and it's brief, that I want to make before we move on. Understanding others is a key to unity. And right now, especially in our country, We do not have unity. We have great division. But here's what I want you to understand, because this is vitally important. Understanding and unity can coexist with disagreement. To understand someone's perspective does not mean you agree with them. It means you care enough about a child of God to see things through their eyes. I'm not asking you to agree with every person you meet. If you meet some extremist with pretty crazy views, don't just subscribe to it because they've said it. But that doesn't mean you can't understand why they're saying it. And one of the excuses that I consistently see thrown back at me when I try and push understanding at the world is, that means I'm giving them credit. That means I'm saying they're right. No, it doesn't mean that you're saying they're right. It means that you care about them as a human being, and you want to find the best solution with them, not fight them. So always remember that too.